Are you high, Jim?
Wait, am I on radio? I don't even know what's going on.
Is that the intro now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's strong.
Weasel it's warning. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay, Sit and Stay, near feet above sea level at Intergalactic Canine Studios. Loosen your leashes, unlatch those cage doors, and distract your handlers to keep the shock collar of statism from being clamped down on your neck. Is it working? Can you feel it, gentlemen?
I'll have what Jim's having.
I feel it.
Me too.
Oh, hi, Nick.
How is everybody tonight? As always, I'm the Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. It's used by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
BIPstrong.org. No, BIPCOT.org. No. You're right.
One of them.
No.
Yeah.
So, this is Jeremy. I'm here with, I think Jim's here somewhere. Jim Jesus. He might be alive on the other
dogs.
End.
Are you under a pile of murder dogs tonight?
Yes, I am, as always.
Cool.
We also have Michael Dean and the Yak Emperor of some sorts is hiding in the background, I think.
Tears.
Jeremy's name.
Pip Scripts.
Jeremy has a new name. It's the Beastmaster.
The Beastmaster, yes.
Yeah. Yep.
My favorite cheesy movie of all time.
Speaking of weasels, it was a TV show too, wasn't it?
Yeah, they made a show out of it, I think like a few years back. Not as good. The original horribly cheesy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I went to the post office today, and my wife calls the post office the postal weasels, and it fits. And Davy Barker calls the post office socialism for packages. Now, here's what happened. I went to the post office with, like, 20 packages. They were all flats. They were all, you know, I was sending everyone their BIPCOT flags, plus I was sending buttons to a few people that donated. Oh, please donate to the Fiends by Bitcoin or PayPal, the spinning coin on any post. I need money this week because I have to buy a refrigerator, and they are not cheap. Ours is like, it's not even keeping ice like ice. It's cold water now in the freezer, and food is spoiling, and we need to buy a fridge, and they are not cheap. And I can spend Bitcoin on a fridge because if you go to gift.com, GYFT.com, you can spend Bitcoin. I can spend Bitcoin. You can spend Bitcoin on gift cards, and I can get a Sears gift card with Bitcoin and use that to towards the fridge. I have a need. Go give me money, please.
Is Sears a thing still?
Yes. And that's all they do is sell fridges. It's a fridge store. Anything.
Oh, and Craftsman Tools.
Yep.
See, that's funny. In my neck of the woods, I think the only thing that's left is the automotive part of Sears. they got rid of the store.
And all they do is put in like really loud stereos, probably. They don't do automotive.
Yeah, and tires. I think that's it.
Can you still do mail order for heroin and cannabis oil and all that stuff?
You used to be able to buy machine guns for 20 bucks from Sears back in the day when I was your age. So what were we talking about?
I was about that age.
BIPstrong.
The post office.
Okay, the post office. Postal weasels. We're going to call them postal weasels.
Sending out BIPstrongs.
Yeah, so I was happy to go because it was the second time this week I went, and I got to use my parking pass, my disabled parking pass, because like Hubert Selby said when he got his cane, I finally got something from that effing government. And, you know, the thing I didn't say about Selby, too, like, the reason he was disabled and was because he had tuberculosis from beef cattle that he was carrying to Germany for Americans or to France for American soldiers during World War II. This guy, okay, like I'm not going to go into like thank you for your service, but this guy had to fight for veterans benefits because he was in the Merchant Marine, not in the service, and that's, you know, it's part of the service. He was at D-Day, you know, he was in at Dunkirk or, you know, like when they Operation Overlord, he was there. He wasn't shooting at people, but he was, you know, helping out. And, you know, he had to fight for like 30, 40, 50 years to get his 40 years to get his benefits. And he got his benefits. And then they gave him a cane, this aluminum cane. And he said, I finally got something from that effing government. And I love that. And this guy's my hero. And he's probably the reason I have lung disorders because I don't know. that's how the universe works, because he's my hero and he had them too. So mine aren't as bad. But I got to park with my disabled parking pass at the post office. I go in. There's not that much of a line. I get to the front of the line in like 5 minutes. Here's the thing, though. I'm like carrying an oxygen tank, and I'm like, I have so many packages and stuff that things are falling all over the place, and I kept picking them up, and everyone just stands there and looks at me. Now,
you're not getting my spot.
Every time I've been in the post office in my life, if anybody's struggling with anything, or on the bus or anywhere, if someone's dropping packages because they're not physically able or they have too many even and they're fit, I don't care, I would help them. But people just looked at me like, and I'm like breathing oxygen from a tank, and people are looking at me, and I'm thinking, you know, if I was a 20-year-old good-looking girl instead of a 52-year-old disabled guy, people would be scrambling to help me pick stuff up. But anyway, so I get to the front of the line, and I dump all my packages out, and the guy just looks at me like, how dare you make me work at my job, you know? Yeah, I felt like burping in his face, man. And he did the job, but he was so slow. It took like an hour to get out of the post office, and it was only 5 minutes in line. It took me like 55 minutes for this guy, who wasn't that old, he was like my age or younger, to process 20 packages. And he was just sneering at me the whole time, like, how dare you make me work? And he was doing, like, I'd put some stamps on the stuff because I had some leftover stamps. So he was like, how dare you make me do math? He was like, he was going like, ugh. When he was like doing math, like at longhand, you know, he didn't use the calculator, it was there. And he just gave me so much attitude, man. And I was thinking about this compared to a non-governmental exchange, you know, where someone's job isn't guaranteed and they're losing money, like the post office, and they can't be fired and they can be rude to disabled people and act like, how dare you make me do work at my job? With a couple, like a month ago, when my wife and I went to get phones at the AT&T store. Now, that's almost a government monopoly because, you know, like, you know, big corporations, they're corporatists, but they're still way more free market than the post office. And they were bending over backwards to help us. They didn't have the phones we wanted. Like, the guy just spent like all this time showing us the phones, telling us the features, and they only had one of the phone we wanted. And he says, I'll tell you what, we'll give you this. Why don't you both come back tomorrow? I'll go tomorrow morning and drive to Gillette. We have one of these in our store there. I'll get it and bring it back. This guy drove like 3 hours each way to make me a happy customer. You know, contrast that with the, how dare you make me work at my job at the postal weasel office. So discuss and spelling counts.
You know, I lucked out because of the post office that I had my post office box originally when I was doing my Libertarians Against Humanity, and I was sending out stuff every day, multiple times a day.
I know.
They were great. Every single person there was just like, oh, you got a bunch of packages? Like, how is your business going? Yeah. And, oh, that's wonderful. And they always just get into it. And they'd be like, talking to me.
Prostitution's legal in that town. They're all getting, they're happy.
And then for some reason, they all disappeared, and there's like this new generation of postal workers, and now they're just like
postal weasels.
And they're like, oh, can I at least scan the tracking number? And they're like, no.
Oh, like, when I was all done, I asked the guy for a stack of tracking number stickers, because when I mail stuff from home that's light enough to stick in a box, like buttons, they tell me I should put those on, and then they scan them. So I do from home. And he had like three packs of them there, and I said, can I have one of those? He's like, no, we're out of them. He looked at me and lied. Like right there, man, I'd see them, and I know you got more in the back.
They're pretty horrible. I never realized how bad, like, you know, I went into the post office whenever I needed to for years. I never really realized that. I always just, you know, you look at the DMV as the horrible example of the government agency where they just, they know they have total control. But I guess maybe it was my shift, you know, more and more towards becoming an anarchist that I started recognizing how horrible the post office is. And in my town, they're like, what you're talking about how they, you know, that this disdain for the customers they have. No. It's so horrible because I have my post office, and then not even like two blocks up the road is the UPS store. And the contrast is amazing because in the UPS store, it's a family-owned store. Like, they have a franchise, but it's like this, you know, maybe like 50-year-old woman and her parents who run the store. And her mom is like
75 plus years old, all hunched over, you know, moves very slow, but still moves, is more efficient than the people at the post office two blocks down who are in a lot better shape, a lot younger than her, but they just, they drag their feet with everything they do.
They retire with pensions at like 65 from the post office.
Which is amazing considering how much money that
loses.
Loses every year.
Yeah. You know, there
that's
was actually,
why the post is so cheap.
There was actually a senator or a congresswoman. It was the lady who said the thing about the shoulder thing that goes up. Do you guys remember that? It's if people haven't seen this, there's a video. Search that on YouTube. It was
a barrel shroud.
She had this bill to outlaw aspects of things that defined what they called an assault rifle.
What's a barrel shroud?
And one was a barrel shroud, and like Stossel or somebody asked her, so what's a barrel shroud? Like, she didn't know what this thing in the bill she wrote was, supposedly. And she's like, oh, it's the shoulder thing that goes up. So that lady actually gave an impassioned speech in Congress about saving the post office and giving them more money. And like, one of the things she wanted to do was pay for an ad campaign to convince young people in college to write letters home to their parents. Not just asking for money, but to like she almost sounded like she wanted to make it legally, like you have to write one letter a week or something, which like I had to do in boarding school, the military school I went to. I had to write a letter home every Sunday night. You know, that's what she was trying to do in Congress.
That's pretty insane. But par for the course with those people.
Man. Idiots. So, you guys see Better Call
Saul?
Is
magic.
Let's talk about something fun.
Don't know. I didn't see it. Spoilers. Bad touch.
This is barely a spoiler alert. I loved the montage of colorful clothing in tonight's episode. Did you guys see it?
I haven't seen tonight's yet because the torrent hasn't hit yet. So
yeah.
That's well, how I have TiVo. We're not TiVo. I have now. I have to get unlimited data with the AT&T phone. I had to get Dish TV cheap, and it includes a DVR, which I've never had. I'm like mind blown. Like, wait, I can skip the commercials. What? I don't have to sit. You know, I don't have to be here at 8 p.m. This is great, you know?
Yeah, it was great when I was into hockey because I could just record all my hockey games and everything and watch it whenever I want. But then it got to the point where it was like, well, Las Vegas is getting a hockey team, so I don't care about the Ducks anymore. What do I need this for? And I canceled it.
The Mighty Ducks?
It's no regular cable. Yeah, so the regular cable I don't watch because it's not in high definition, so it's like,
oh, this is satellite's higher definition. Satellite's higher definition.
I can't get satellite on my apartment. Yes,
we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
So the F word didn't make it to radio, but I was wrong. Good.
What's
I heard it. I heard it, Jim, because I got magical kitty ears.
Yeah. Good thing we were on break, I hope.
Yeah. So, send me money for a fridge and Bitcoin.
And BipScript. I'll send you a BipScript.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how's that going to solve the fridge problem? I don't know.
if he feels really good, then food doesn't matter.
He can't feel the
hunger pain. So you just tighten your belt one notch.
There's actually three things historically that have sold more during a depression. Like everything sells less during a depression except cigarettes and liquor and speed. Like even medical speed back when it was legal. Because, you know, back when speed was legal, you know, it was like 6 cents a dose. And it's smoking too makes you forget you haven't had a meal in a while, you know. Movie tickets, really?
Yeah, movies have always been really good, especially during depressions.
Religion.
Yeah.
Does better. Religion does better during a depression.
Yeah.
So do bank robberies.
Yeah. Actually, I've read some studies that say that when the more people are economically disadvantaged, the less crime there is, and that's why there was a big dip in crime after the recession. True story.
Huh.
Yeah.
Why would that be?
It's weird.
You think, you think that's counterintuitive, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it people? Is it because people are too dejected to even try?
No,
it's like, oh, things are so bad, I don't even care.
No, well, it's because it's the kind of the whole myth that, you know, that people commit crimes because, you know, they want things because they don't have it, you know, because, you know, they need to eat, but they forget that there's like charities and food stamps that stop that from happening. It's like, why would I go rob a bank when I can go get food stamps right now until I can get a job?
There you go.
Or the charity's got a soup kitchen open. Why am I robbing a liquor store? That doesn't make any sense. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And it would be a whole lot better if, you know, the government wasn't handing out food stamps and I could give to a charity without having to pay 80% in overhead like the government does.
There'd be a lot more charities that were actually doing good instead of being either punished by the state or, you know, run by the state.
Welfare mostly helps white collar bureaucrats. I don't care.
Yeah. Of course. Well, that's what it's supposed to help. what is the
That's what the unions are there for, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, what is the numbers? Whenever they come out with the whenever they come out with those figures, it's usually something like maybe 12 cents of every dollar gets to actual poor people.
Yeah,
if they're lucky,
go to overhead.
Yeah,
and the reverse is true when you're looking at private charities. It's usually about 80% gets out. You know, unless it's Invisible Children, you know. You know, Coney 2012, that was a giant thing.
Oh gosh, I remember that one.
Yeah, good riddance.
Hey, but at least we got that video at the end of that one.
Yeah. By the way, did he ever get elected president? I didn't notice. Did he get elected president?
Coney ran for president.
I don't think so.
No. So what's this about David Wolf? Like, I did not hear about this, but Nick did a podcast, and for some reason David Avocado Wolf got brought up as a con artist.
Hey, before we go into that con artist, I gotta say something. Since I'm begging for money for a fridge, first of all, I will actually post pictures of the fridge or video of me using the fridge. I will prove I bought a fridge if people send donations. Victor Pross, is it Pross or Poss?
Pross.
Victor Pross and Stefan Molyneux. And Stefan Molyneux, who are Canadians, who I'm not going to call them. Okay, they're gay scam people. They asked for money for documentaries they never made. Now, my documentaries are, they exist and they're on YouTube and they were made before I even got into the Liberty Movement. So you can go watch Hubert Selby Jr. It'll Be Better Tomorrow. I think some of them were still on Netflix. They were, but Netflix is taking a lot of things off. Do you guys know about that?
Yeah, no, they take things off every month and they put new things on.
No, but there's way less stuff than there used to be. There was an article that came out today.
I don't care. Like, Daredevil's so awesome, I don't care. They can take whatever they want off. Yeah. And that Pee-wee movie was actually pretty good, too.
I don't know what that is.
Pee-wee Herman?
Oh, that guy? I like
him. Mr. Lizard, a monster. Yeah. Would you care for a hamburger?
Have you guys seen the show Vinyl on HBO? It's amazing.
No.
It's about the music industry in the 70s, and it's just brutal, and it's like people just doing coke with Mick Jagger and, you know, Iggy Pop and falling down flights of stairs. And there's a punk rocker in it who's played by Mick Jagger's son. But the best thing is, like, Ray Romano is in it. And I watched like 7 episodes before I figured out that's Ray Romano. Oh my God. He's playing like a record industry guy.
Well, anyway, weren't we going to talk about Victor Pross? I think we got off topic.
Go ahead.
All right, so Victor Pross, he's really good at like fooling people to think that he was more
after the break.
Oh yeah,
thanks, Nick. Nick hasn't said anything, but that was awesome. Nick did some radio there.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your problem.
Triggering the alt-right.
Explain the alt-right for people who don't know.
It's basically all the really terrible versions of the right
Nazis,
thing.
Fascist white nationalists.
They're like Republicans who vote Hitler but have funny haircuts and piercings, right?
Yeah, they don't shave their heads. So anyways, speaking of the alt-right, yeah, I wanted to say, first of all, that, like, Molyneux asked people to donate for his movie, and there were some reasons why his movie didn't get made. There was, like, some reasons why. Like, he was actually trying to make this movie.
The amount of money that those guys get for movies they never made are unreal. Like, how much did he make for that?
How much
did he bring in?
Who knows?
50,000, 70,000? I made a movie about Hubert Selby Jr. that was narrated by Robert Downey Jr., and it's a feature film, and it's out in the world. You can actually go watch it on YouTube now. And it was $20,000 to make it, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, we probably made $30,000 on it, and, like, you know, that's in 10 years. I made 10 grand on it. But I make things. I don't even say I'm going to make things. I just make them.
Yeah, but the difference between Molyneux and Victor Pross is Molyneux actually tried to make a documentary. Victor Pross didn't. Victor Pross just uses this as an opportunity to make it seem like he's more important than he actually is.
Yeah.
He's a caricature artist who his only fame is that he writes these long posts on Facebook and draws some really good, you know, some caricatures, but even though half of them he just gets from Google image search. He's a total plagiarist.
You're a tracer.
So here's what Victor Pross is. So you, like, every once in a while he'll do like the Sons of Anarchy tour in Vancouver, where he gets like Walter Block on, and he basically convinces people like Walter Block and Objectivist Girl, like, oh yeah, I'm fairly popular because, you know, I have a movie being out about me, and, you know, there's newspaper articles written about me. But the movie, the only thing that ever existed and will only ever exist is a trailer. It was supposed to be out in 2011, and there's nothing. There's no IMDb page on this. The guy who's supposedly directing it doesn't have it on his IMDb. It just does not exist. He always keeps saying, like, oh, we're going to do an Indiegogo crowdfunding soon, but, you know, here's a donation bar anyway. So this movie is never going to get made. It's just there to say, like, oh, I'm important enough for someone to make a documentary about me. Pay attention to me. And then he'll post like these long like rants on Facebook, and they're really well written, and they make great cases for anarchy. But if you start like Googling parts of it, you'll find out that they're totally plagiarized from other people.
A friend of yours did an image that, like, it was side by side with a bunch of red arrows. Who was that?
That's Justin Templer. He's very good at finding stuff like that.
Yep.
And yeah, he went through, like, pretty much anytime he comes to a post from Victor Pross, he starts Googling it and finding out where it came from. He does like caricature, like carnies, how they'll draw your face kind of messed up so you look like a cartoon. He does that, and he does it fairly good. And he also does like port. Fairly well. He does oil painting versions of them as well, and they're really good. But half of the time when he posts, like, oh, I just did a brand new one of Michael Jackson, 50% of the time he did it and it's really good. 50% of the time it's someone else did it that he got it from Google.
Why would you steal if you were good?
Yeah, exactly.
Laziness? I don't know.
And then he'll be like, oh, I also do parties and stuff. You know, here's a picture of me drawing this lady. And if you Google image search that, it's from another caricature artist who just cropped their face out. And if you go and contact him, they'll be like, oh yeah, this is not the first time that C did this to me. He's really absolutely nobody. Like, even when I was nobody, I had more subscribers on YouTube than he did. And he's doing like lecture circuits with Walter Block
subscribers somehow.
Oh, on Twitter now. Yeah, I don't know how that happened, but
it was an accident.
I'm still baffled.
Victor Pross did it to us. I really have 2,000, but somebody like signed me up for 20,000 others, so I have 22. I really only have 2,000, but it's a hard-earned, solid 2,000. Like, it's actually 2,000 people that have followed me over the years. But
I had audited myself to see how many of them are fake accounts
with an e-meter.
And there's like a Twitter audit thing where it actually checks to see whether or not followers of yours are fake. I don't know how it works, but apparently it does, and people use it all the time. And it says that most of my followers, the vast majority of my followers, are real. So I don't know what's going on with that, but I have 20,000 followers.
Hey, since this is a teaching hospital for audio, I want to point out that I switched mics over the break. I was using a $500 RE20 broadcast mic, and now I'm using the $50 Fiend mic, and people say it sounds better. And I just want to point out that, yeah, man, go to freedomfiends.com. If you want this mic, click on, there's over on the right sidebar, a ways down, there's a link to it, and what you need to go with it, you know, like mic stand wise and how far to have it from your mouth and foam, so you don't sound like talk shoe, and you can do it cheap. And I will sell, I have this $500 mic that I bought back when I had work and wasn't disabled, and was still writing for tech book companies before they stopped hiring me because I liked guns all of a sudden. I bought this mic, $500 mic with a $100 stand. The special RE20 stand is $100. $600. I'll sell this for $350 if anyone wants it. Email me fiendean@gmail.com. It does have my name carved into it. I used an engraver, so if it got stolen, but I'm willing to write a document that says you didn't steal it. So if you want a mic that doesn't sound as good as a $50 mic and want to have $350 spent on it and it has my name carved into it, contact me. It comes with a BipStrong, too, whatever that is.
Oh, yeah, you checked it to see if it wasn't an effective BipStrong, right?
I don't know.
This particular one.
I gave Nick my, I sent Nick my Libertarians Against Humanity cards, all three decks today.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah. Did you say that?
By the way, I don't have versions 1 or 2 anymore. They're sold out. No, I'm not making anymore.
You know, the funny thing is, like, you know, people would be like, wait, you helped make those with Jim. Why are you giving them away when you can't get them? And I'm like, because I don't have any use for them, and I'm probably going to die from asthma, and I want them out in the world, so I'm giving them to young Nick to take to Porkfest, because he'll use them.
Yeah.
Or you could sell them on eBay. I'm sure the people, I don't know, we'll see.
Well, they're not available anymore, right? They're right there.
Yeah, I have all the things there, so you can go to makeplayingcards.com or whatever and make them.
Make your own.
Okay. But they're expensive. Like, I remember when I ordered the sample deck before I mass produced them, it cost me like $32 just for one volume.
Whoa.
So yeah, it's a little bit cheaper to get them $9 for me, but I'm out. So that's the only way you can do it. Yeah, I still have plenty of volume threes, but just 1 and 2, totally out. Yeah. Actually, I do have a volume 2 that I'm holding on for Kinsella, but he hasn't hit me up about it yet. So I'm about ready to give it up. It's almost been a year. So I know he listens, so Kinsella, this is your last opportunity. I'm gonna put it up for sale in a month. So, anyways, speaking of, I got stuff to sell and cons. I got these turntable slip mats, these Bipcot slip mats. Actually, it's not a con. They glow in the dark, man. They're so awesome.
Bipcot? Explain Bipcot for those who don't know. You got to remember, man.
Oh, yeah.
Radio is like grandpa's internets. There are people listening that don't even have the computer or don't even have like a smartphone. There are people who listen to talk radio constantly, do not have a computer, have never touched a computer. They don't know unless you explain this stuff. So what's Bipcot, Jim?
Well, it's what we said it was.
What's a slip mat, too? They might not even know that.
But before, well, I mean, like, we did mention what it was at the top of the hour. So the Bipcot No Government License is a media license it's a software license and a bunch of other licenses. That's kind of like, it's almost like open source, but it's not because you're excluding governments from being able to use it. And, of course, the only thing that governments will be punished by if in violation of this contract is public shaming in perpetuity. So it's a media license that prevents governments from using it.
And the logo is
awesome.
This really cool thing that Davi Barker did. It's like a beast mouth with a tongue sticking out. And someone asked me today, like, what's with that mouth and tongue and teeth? And I said, it's the monster that's going to eat anyone who violates the license and eat them with shame. And the new one, the black flag that somebody called the libertarian ISIS flag. And I got kind of mad because, no, I've been been into black flags and black flag for like 30 years. But the black one, and there's some blue ones too, but I didn't get any this time, that have a QR code on the tongue that Diana caught it. She said, that looks like a hit of acid. I'm like, yep. And if you hold your phone up to it, it scans and goes to bipcot.org.
Yeah, which cool. is the website that tells you about it. But I got these slip mats for turntables. They're basically like something you can lay on top of your turntable that kind of protects your vinyls. But mostly they were designed for vinyls. DJs for scratching. I don't scratch, but I use it just to make sure that you know my vinyls don't get scratched by the underside.
Vinyls?
Of the,
you call
my
them vinyls?
Vinyl records?
I never heard.
Yeah.
That.
I like my that. Vinyls, but they glow in the dark. They glow blue in the dark. If you soak it in the light for
yeah, they are cool.
Yeah.
So you can play your 400-gram Blu-ray discs on your turntable with it?
Yeah. But I'm selling them for like... I'm selling them actually pretty cheap because I know like... The Needle Drop is selling his Needle Drop turntable slip mats for like $15 a pop. And they didn't even glow in the dark. Mine glow in the dark. And I'm selling them $13. So
how can people find them, Jim? Where do they go to get these?
You have to go to lolberts.com. This is not a paid plug, by the way. Where was the money? LOLBERTS.
Like I will pimp anything cool on this show that's Liberty related for free, unlike Mark Edge. Now, I have a beef.
Oh, God. I saw this earlier today.
Yeah, it's ongoing. So Mark Edge, you know, when you said you were selling Bipcot slip mats at first, I really thought you meant like for in your shower so you don't slip.
Awesome.
Like,
no, but
like,
that's
I
the
want
next,
that.
That's the next thing.
I want a Bipcot shower, no slip.
I'll sell those like 30 years down the line when all the libertarians are 80.
Yeah. Well, they're good to have anyway. You can slip at any age, especially if you're on narcotics, Jim.
Not a sense of don't shower.
What's that? People on narcotics don't shower, did you say?
I said the solution is simple. Just don't shower.
I like showers when I was on narcotics. It feels like you're embryonic, man. Warm shower. Yeah, so...
Embryonic's a great album, Flaming Lips. Go ahead.
What were we talking about? Flaming Lips. Jim loves... This is so funny. Jim loves the Flaming Lips. I know them better than I want to know them, and they know me better than they want to know me. We went on tour opening for them. My band Bomb opened for them for a month, and their drummer, Steve Drudes, is a huge fan of my band Bomb, and he can play, like, all our songs on piano. Like, I've sat after hours in a bar with him, where he sat at a piano and played a medley of my songs, like cocktail jazz versions. It was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
Lulberts.com. Lulberts.com.
This song right here. This is a bomb song.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Meow! But yeah, anyways, I have just one giant tooth now.
Yeah.
Where two teeth should be.
So, this is my last segment. Two things. One is, I want to make fun of Nick Hazelton, because he's going to kill us all, because he's rising his yak army to the point that he's going to destroy us, and we built him, and that's the name of the show tonight. It's going to be something like, you know, we've created a monster, and it's this picture of, like, the Madonna with child, but I'm the Madonna, and Nick is baby Jesus in my arms, and then, you know, if you meet the Buddha in the road, kill him, and Nick's going to kill us at Porkfest, and, you know, then he's going to kill me. I think before you kill us, though, Nick, now that you've, you know, we've trained you and brought you up and raised you as our own, and then you're going to kill us and take over. Like, you're sitting there thinking, I can't wait for Michael Dean to leave and get off my show so I can talk.
And he's going to take over my shows, and then it's going to be, he's just going to turn it into one big show called Nick. The Lulbert Fiends.
Yeah, so Nick, should, before you kill us, though, you should let me teach you to use FiendBot so you can teach your minions to auto-edit your shows. Auto-erotic edit your asphyxiation shows. Wait, Nick's not old enough. Can't talk about that. Okay. So Mark Edge. From Free Talk Live. I love Free Talk Live. I love Mark. I love Ian. I stand by Ian, and I always, you know, I think the FBI is setting him up or something. So I think he's innocent. I think, you know, everyone knows he is. So I posted, Ian Freeman was on Free Talk Live today, and I posted on Facebook, man, it's great to have Ian back. He's my favorite Free Talk Live host. A bunch of people said, yeah. And somebody said, you just hurt Mark Edge's feelings because he's the guy that co-created the show 28 years ago. No, like 12 years ago, 13, 14 years ago. And tomorrow night is the five-year anniversary of The Fiends, and I want every fiend to come on for at least part of a segment. I may be stuck in a snowstorm and not be on at the beginning, but you guys can handle it. And don't have more than six fiends on at a time because the networks can't handle it. So the internet. So Mark Edge, like, and I kind of got in this beef because, like, Ian Freeman, every time, like, for a decade, these guys have been saying, and Free Talk Live are the only syndicated libertarian radio show in the world. But now that The Fiend's been on, you know, a podcast for 5 years and a radio show for 3 or 4 years, they amend it. And Ian Freeman will be like, and Free Talk Live are the only libertarian, true libertarian radio show, syndicated show in the world, except for the Freedom Fiends. They're not on as many stations, but check them out. They're really good. Now, he said that 3 or 4 times on the show, and he always mentions us by name. Mark Edge will say, we're Free Talk Live. We're the only syndicated true libertarian radio show in the world. Well, we're the most popular one. And he just stops. Like, he won't say us. Like, you know, don't say their names. And I got into him about it today, and he basically said, pay me, and I'll say it. Can you guys believe that?
We are the show that cannot be named.
We are. We really are. Yeah. Yes.
And if someone at FTL mentions our name, then they have to give free Ross $20.
Yeah. Ian Good, Mark, I don't know. Mark's quitting Free Talk Live. He's not bad, but he quits Free Talk Live like every 4 months, doesn't he?
I guess. Free Talk Live is not a bad show. It's just a very kind of like basic libertarian show. And
it's also a really normal radio show.
Yeah,
we're a cooler show. We're weirder and cooler.
I've done like a lot of in-depth reading on economics and libertarian philosophy and ethics, and it's just kind of like, you know, you can hear about the nap so many times, you know. It's a great basic show, and it should be.
Ian's out driving Uber, and Mark's home slaughtering hogs, man. They're doing their agorist stuff.
Oh yeah, I'm not bashing the show. It's great. But you know, it's
so it's more normal of a primer. Though. It's a primer. The word is primer.
Primer.
It's pronounced primer. It's primer.
No, you spray it on first and then you listen to the
things. You got a nice base coat of narcotics and then you can take a little DMT on top of it. Yeah. Get a little primer of the narcotics. That way you don't get scared when the monsters come out when you fall into the K-hole. When you smoke some Kenny G. You know what Kenny G is? If you fall into a G-hole. A Kensington hole. A K-hole, you know, a Kenny G-hole. Yeah.
I don't think I'd ever want to fall into one of those. That sounds hard.
Steve Miller did. No, it's a B-hole. You fall into a B-hole because he's buffering.
Oh,
that's what the kids are calling it. You're buffering hard, man.
What does David Avocado Wolf call it when you eat chocolate? That's kind of inside baseball.
Have a good show, guys.
Get out of here.
All right. Youngsters.
Yes, leave.
Yay.
Hail our new king, Yak Emperor.
Yes.
Hey, I just got here, man. I don't want to be a part of this. Why am I getting assimilated?
You will be assimilated.
We're not saying worms now. It's yaks.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Meow.
broadcasting from low orbit ion cannon, something, something, high top, pip strong, beast, plaza, whatever. Free Feeds is covered by BIPCOT, no government license. It allows use and reuse by anyone except state governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. And we're going to talk about avocados and cacao. So you want to introduce this dear yak emperor, Nick?
That's dear sweet yak emperor. I've been correcting everybody today. You all dear are being put on the list.
I'm already on enough of them. It doesn't matter to me anymore.
Yeah, so David Avocado Wolf is a... I don't know exactly what he is, other than a scam artist. This guy, he just... Yeah, he's crazy. So I'm sure people have seen his posts and his memes. He just takes... He'll take these health and nature-themed memes and slap his name on it, David Avocado Wolf, who slapped that on there, and then he gets traffic to his website, to his Facebook page, and then I think to his website, where he sells probably chocolate. I haven't really researched this guy a whole lot, but I have read up on him, and I've seen his memes all the time, and I'm just like, well, who is this guy? And some of them are just absolutely ridiculous. My favorite one was the one about Fukushima and hemp. He said if everybody, what was it, like a third of the people in the world grew hemp, it would the hemp's vibrations would make the radiation, make the radiation disappear.
Radiation. Yay.
Yeah. So this guy's pretty clever. In that he's maintained a decent follow, and he attracts more people with his meme campaigns. But the guy is just full of crap, and nobody should listen to anything he says.
Mm-hmm. Are you in the midst of a spiritual awakening? 15 signs to look for. A change in sleeping patterns. That's everybody. An activity at the crown of the head. Emotions that appear suddenly. What? That's how emotions happen. A change in weight. Well, you gain and lose a pound a day. Things from the past emerging. That is not in the past, is it? Strange cravings. Okay, or you're pregnant. I guess this is... I think this is kind of like... So you're pregnant. New allergies. Physical manifestations. Intense energy. Heightened senses. Experiencing vivid dreams. This is like things that just happen to people. Period. But apparently this means that you're having a spiritual awakening, which is like every day, I guess.
Well, it's kind of like the psychics who just like kind of throw things out there, and they just keep throwing things at you. Eventually, they're going to land on something that hits home with you. So that's what he's doing. You just say these random things. Oh, I know, that's me. I feel that.
Yeah, that's I get that.
It's kind of like the lottery.
You can't win. You can't win unless you play, and he's hitting every ball. He's like, all right, so let's see who's going to win the lottery. Did you choose one? How about two? How about three? Ah, see? How about 54? So I guess what did he say about, can you even repeat this line that he says about chocolate? Like, he has this weird obsession with chocolate. He's a chocolatier, apparently. I don't see anything on his website about selling chocolate, but from what I understand, he is a chocolatier. And he has like this insane quote, and I can't get a text version to read it, and I can't play the audio over the air, because reasons. But like he says, like chocolate lines up with the planetary, with the sun. Chocolate is an octave of the sun energy. It's a male octave. Yeah. It comes from the center of the sun that does planetary, and cacao is right on line with the center of the sun, which we call the heart energy.
I don't know.
And I think I did that quote more justice than he did, by the way. I think I made more sense of it than he did. It's just insane.
Yeah. I didn't know much about the guy until you guys mentioned him. And I said before we came back on the air, I went to look him up, and the first thing under the search wasn't his page. It was somebody bashing him.
Yeah, that's always a good sign.
And they take part of that quote, and the guy says, it's like one of the first things he says, he said, David is also the guy who believes that chocolate is an octave of male sun energy, and this masculine octave will come down from the sun and penetrate your heart. Like, that's powerful stuff, man.
Yeah.
Like, where do you go with that? I don't.
Yeah, it's yeah. You can't top it. I can't even make a joke about it because it's so. I mean, we kind of hit like a Poe's law almost. It's is this real or is this a giant troll? Like, I can't tell.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's either he's pulling the greatest troll, or maybe he just went on a peyote trip one day and never came back. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't really know how you get to that level. And I've done my share and other people's share of different narcotics over the years, and I've never gotten to this point. So I don't know.
So... Yeah, but I blame Nick for introducing me to this guy. So maybe he can tell us a little bit more, since he seemed to know more about him than anyone else.
Well, I mean, that's just about it. So I don't know how exactly he rose to fame, but I guess all I can say
stealing
is...
Stealing people's memes, I guess.
Right, that's what he does. He steals people's memes, and he makes his own ones that are just full of bullcrap. And it's amazing. He's got a lot of followings, and his website is interesting. Some of the tips are all right. I mean, some of the things he says are true, but most of the time, it seems that he's cooking up some wacky explanation for everything he comes up with. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that I've really seen from him, except for a few of the memes, and I can't remember most of the memes. But if you see this guy's name on a meme, it's probably stolen, and if it's not, then don't listen to it. So just ignore anything that has David Avocado Wolf, and don't share his stuff, because we don't need him popular.
Yeah, I ended up, when I first heard about that, and that was the one that I saw, the marijuana, growing the marijuana plants will magically save us from Fukushima or whatever, with energies or whatever. And so I made my own David Avocado Wolf meme, kind of making fun of him, and it says, if we all grew, this is a quote from someone, some person, right? If we all grew marijuana, then our nation's aura chakras will oscillate with healing vibrations or something. Charity store. And then, of course, and you know, it's a stolen meme, so I put Jim Asparagus Jesus on it. And it has one share, and that was me. So I don't know if I should continue this trend, but I could probably end up outdoing him. But I don't know, because even my silly little quote is nothing as crazy, nearly as crazy as what I heard him say about chocolate. I don't think I could ever top that. That's some top tier stuff right there.
Yeah. I mean. I don't know. I mean, I guess it, well, sadly, it makes sense that he would have a following, because that's pretty much all you have to do. I mean, look at people like, I have people like on my feeds on different social media sites that like quote people like, what's that crazy mega church preacher, Joel Osteen? He just babbles about stuff too. He says like nonsensical things and like puts words together in a sentence, and people share this stuff all over the place. I don't know. I think people are just that desperate. They're just looking for anything to cling on to.
Yeah, I have some friends that are Christian on Facebook. I'm not a Christian. There we go. We just lost three listeners. but I've seen them turn around and say, like, oh, what this guy is saying is, like, totally heretical. Like, this is not what the Bible teaches at all. Like, under any denomination. Like, I've seen them talk about how, like, he'll take a quote from someone or take a quote from the Bible, and instead of, like, putting it in the proper context, there was one where, like, he was quoting, like, it looked like a good passage, but it really was, he was quoting Satan, deceiving someone, and it was like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me?
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about, though. But people get sucked up by this because, I think maybe part of it is they're just that desperate. I mean, that's the only thing. At least that was what I hope. I don't want to imagine that people I know are that stupid. I don't want to call them that. I don't know.
I don't know if they're stupid. They're dupes, right? Because anybody can be duped by a scam.
No, of course. I mean,
and soon you will all be duped by a scam. But that's.
It's crazy. People, like I said, people just, they see that stuff. But it's funny, though, like, when you put it in those terms, it's like, maybe guys like that really are the ultimate trolls, and they're just getting one over on everybody. Because, I mean, how different is that than taking, say, a random Hitler or some other Nazi quote and putting it on a Bernie meme and sending it over
or to the Bernie Unabomber.
Yeah. Like, how different really is that? I mean, are they really messing with everybody? That would be pretty hysterical.
That actually happened. One of the other co-hosts of the Freedom Fiends was Steve Miller.
Oh, no, I know that.
Actually, yeah, I took a quote from the Unabomber and posted on a Bernie Sanders meme, and it got really popular. And then PolitiFact actually did a PolitiFact article saying it was liar, liar, pants on fire.
Yes, that was spectacular.
That's a pretty good troll. That's a pretty good troll right there. If I don't say so myself.
I can only aspire to have anywhere near that impact. But yeah, maybe, like I said, I don't know. I guess maybe part of me hopes that these guys, that's what they're doing. But no, they're probably not. Well, I mean, Alstein's definitely not. He's got how much money? Who knows? But what's Wolf getting at? I mean, I guess he's getting money, right?
Yeah, he's selling people ads. His garbage. I'm sure he's selling his products.
Well, on his website now, he's got recipes, videos.
Yeah.
There's probably chocolate recipes.
Oh, maybe we should buy one of his videos. And dissect it. That should be fun.
That would be fun.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey there, this is Nick Hazelton, the anarcho-yakitalist. I've been rising to power in the Liberty Movement since I was 14 years old, when I first found the Freedom Fiends on my TuneIn app. I quickly became a fan, and a little over a year later, I called into Michael Dean After Dark on my crappy home phone. Michael quickly realized my brilliance, but was disappointed by my audio quality. So he picked me up as a mentee, gave me a microphone, helped me start my own podcast, and threw me on the radio show. Now I'm 17, I'm assembling a yak army, building a cult following of yakateers, and we're planning our march to Fiendfest Somalia to take over the geographic region between the Connecticut River and the Salmon Falls River to make it a libertarian paradise free of faceless boards of authority. Free Freedom Fiends buttons will be given to anybody who swears allegiance to the dear sweet yak emperor and aids our cause. This wouldn't be possible without the help of Nima Vedati and especially Michael Dean. The Freedom Fiends have made me as dear and sweet as I am today. Worms.
Yeah, so I got in this huge fight with someone, and then we found out, like, our moms had the same name, and then we became best buddies. It was a magical moment, and it made every bit of sense. Yeah.
All right.
I don't know where to go from there.
Yeah. Well, we could go into about how bad Superman versus Batman was.
I haven't seen that yet.
I'm not going to see it, but from what I've seen of all the reviews, it's like I don't even want to wait for it to come. All right, so I made two predictions. I was like, Deadpool is going to suck, and Batman vs. Superman is actually going to be good. and that Ben Affleck was going to be a good Batman. Of those three predictions, the only one that made any bit of truth was the Ben Affleck was a good Batman. From what I hear, everybody said he was a good Batman. Like, he was probably one of the better Batmans. And I was like, told you, everybody was wrong about that. But there was a terrible movie, and Deadpool was amazing. So the moral of the story is, like, trust me about casting calls, but nothing else about comic book movies.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I had no intention of seeing it. I'm still a bigger fan of the original one with Keaton and Nicholson, but after that the Bale Batmans were good, but I never liked Superman. I always had this disdain for Superman, yeah. And I don't know why. Like, even as a kid with the original ones with Christopher Reeve, I just never wanted to watch them. It just always bothered me, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of Superman. I always think he was kind of like a cheat. It's kind of like playing a video game, and you put in all the cheat codes so you can't die.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty much Superman. And then, like, above that would be, like, Dragon Ball Z. That's why I never got into Dragon Ball Z. It's like, well, you know, they could beat up each other, but anything else comes along, you know. You know, even Superman couldn't step to these guys. I mean, it's kind of boring. Yeah. Superman never really interests me. But the Dawn of Justice, the Justice League, that's really interesting, right? So this is supposed to be a setup to that, and even still, it's just, how do you mess that up? How? How do you mess that up?
Well, I mean, they haven't, I mean, how many of the DC movies have they done so far other than Batman?
They've done quite a bit.
Yeah, but they never go very well, right? Yeah. Even the Marvel ones took a while for them to finally get the formulas right and actually have them be things that people wanted to watch. I mean, how many iterations of the Hulk go through before he was actually liked in the Avengers movies?
Here's the thing with Hulk. Hulk will never be a good movie by itself because Hulk is not an interesting character. Hulk is only interesting because other things bounce off of him. Like, his character is only good when other things interact with his character. So he's never going to be a starring role. He's always going to be just someone that's great when he's working with other things, right? So, like, the Avengers, that's great.
Mm.
But the Hulk movies are always going to be terrible. Because, you know, what do you do with that story? You have a guy who gets mad and then smashes things. Uncontrollably, like he can't control it. So I mean, yeah. And I'm not even a comic book guy, and I know this. I'm really not a comic book guy. The Dark Knights. I don't care what anyone says. Bane, the Dark Knight Rises. I love it. It's great. I don't care what anyone says. Yeah, that intro was kind of weird, but that's what made it so great. It was because it was so weird.
Yeah, no, I like those. Yeah, those were good. I like those. All of them, though, so many of them failed. And you can't really blame people for not expecting Affleck to be good because, well, he was atrocious in everything else he's done. Except Phantoms. He was good in that.
Yeah, he was a bomb in Phantoms, yo. But you know what he was also good in? He was good in Argo, which he also, I think, wrote and directed.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I never saw that one. I heard it was good, though.
Highly recommend watching that one, and it's actually a true story too. It's really
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
I guess he got a lot of his inspiration from a Kevin Smith film, which you wouldn't expect to be like that kind of level of good. Was Red State, which by the way was a brilliant film, and it's not like the typical oh we're gonna cuss, you know, and talk about pot and male genitalia jokes the whole movie, like other Kevin Smith movies are, which I like.
Yeah.
But Red State was a totally different thing. It was.
See, that's another one. I forgot all about, and I never watched. I should probably go watch that.
Yeah,
I was a fan of his.
But Deadpool was amazing. I need to go see that again. Of all the movies that have been coming out, I wanted to see that. I'm not going to see the furry movie. No.
There's a furry movie? What?
Yeah, Zootopia. There's a furry movie.
Oh, no.
Just look up. Actually, don't Google image searches. Because there's actually like rule 34 of it. It's just you need eye bleach afterwards.
Oh.
Which yeah. I think they sell on the market, which we're going to right now.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free and, of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
I'm gonna go see Ben and Teller tomorrow. So
I'd like to see them once, at least.
I see them almost every year. Good stuff.
Highly recommended. When you live right there, it's.
No, and I get free tickets because I donate blood. So.
So, Nick.
Yaks.
You have a yak update.
Hashtag yak update.
So, I think I mentioned, it wasn't last week, I wasn't on last week, but the week before I talked about the plan to get rid of our mean bull. I think I've told the story about how he tossed me and my uncle, and I've had some other run-ins with him. And finally, it's after breeding season, and we've been. He's not my bull. I have a herd partner, and it's his bull. So we've been pushing him to sell it. And when I last talked on the Fiends about it, we had the plan that we were going to butcher him a couple days afterwards, and we would be done with it. That was like two Fridays ago, but. Like the day of, the butcher calls me and says, "Hey, because they know me and this the whatever." But they call me and say, "Hey, I don't really want to try and shoot a bull because you guys don't have a pen to contain him with because he's out in the middle of a 20-acre field. So if we shoot him and miss his head and he runs off, jumps a fence, and dies in somebody's yard, hurt somebody, they didn't want to be liable." So I'm like, "Oh no, what am I going to do with this?" And then this owner calls up and says, "Hey, Nick, I've got this old rich Nepali guy who wants to buy this yak. He's going to save him. He's going to castrate him and bring him to a mountain refuge in California." And I'm just like, "Oh, this is rich. Wow, are you kidding me?" And he's like, "No, this is serious." And so I was like, "All right, I guess. I don't like this animal. I've got serious beef with him." So I was kind of like, I was kind of hoping that I would get a steak out of the whole deal. But now he's leaving, and he was scheduled to be sedated and castrated last Monday. When we were going to leave for a vacation, my family and I went out to southern central Oregon for a week. And so the vet got there and we watched him dart kayak the bull. And he didn't go down for a while, but we left. And then later that week, I text his owner and say, "Hey, how did the sedation go?" And he says, "Well, he didn't take it. He didn't take the sedation. He didn't fall asleep. So they didn't have it done." And I guess they tried it one more time that week. And then finally today he came. They had an extra strong dose. And they shot him and they got it done. So he is no longer a bull. He's a steer. And they cut off the tips of his horns, and I've got one of the tips on my desk. There's a lady who's working the deal in between I guess they found him on Craigslist, and her husband is Nepali or Tibetan or something, and they know this rich guy down in California, so they brokered a deal between them. And I guess this Nepali guy, like, or they found the yak. They thought he was so beautiful, and they're obviously Oregon hippies who just love this romantic idea of saving some of these beautiful animals. So they found him, and they decided, well, we're going to buy him. And it's crazy. And she was telling me today, as I was talking to her about, she raised a GoFundMe campaign or something, and she raised like $8,000 in 3 days to save this yak. And I had no idea that there was such an interest for this terrible animal. And I'm like, I'm a little bit afraid to like talk about how terrible I think he is, because I think he's just a dangerous animal. But they're confident that they can calm him down and take care of him. And I trust that, you know, they know what they're getting into. But it's interesting. It's crazy.
That is pretty crazy. But I mean, they do know did they know he has any history of being a little ill-tempered, or do they just assume that? Okay, so no, yeah, you've done your part. Them. Yeah, you've done your part. Now,
and you've done podcasts about it. It's not like they haven't heard it, right? Yeah, podcasts are big in the area, so I'm told.
Sure.
Here, go ahead.
So, I don't... I told her, it was like, hey, you know, this he is a dangerous animal, and I didn't tell her the specific stories, but I'm hoping that his owner did. But I made sure she knew, and I told her again today that, you know, to stay away from him, because she went up to the fence and tried to hand him grass, because there were a couple other the yaks came up to her, and then he came behind him like, hey, back up, and he didn't go after her or anything. He's not that mean. But he's calmed down a bit since mating season is done. But man, I think they're crazy, honestly.
Well, see, I mean, I don't know that much about yaks, obviously. But I mean, are they anything like? Are they anything like a dog? I mean, once you've turned him into a steer, now is he? Does that calm them down at all, or is it just he's still going to be just as ornery and just as wanting to hurt people?
Well, I guess the vet was telling me it depends. Like, the cutting the nuts off will get rid of the testosterone, you know, so they won't have that pumping through them. But he said that, you know, sometimes it can be psychological, because this bull was bottle raised, so he's very used to humans, and for some reason he decided to turn on me and my uncle, probably because he was provoked by my uncle, but
because he's an anarchist.
Yeah. And so but for whatever Smash reason the now state. He's mean, so we don't really know if it's psychological or not, but I guess we'll find out in the next couple weeks if he's really calms down.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Like I said, I was just curious, because I mean that actually kind of works the same way with dogs too. Mm-hmm. If you wait too long to fix them, a lot of the times it becomes like a psychological thing that gets set in, and it still doesn't change. Mm-hmm. Which is why, as a behavioralist, I'm always encouraging everybody. I'm like, please get your dog fixed, please, so I don't have to deal with it later, because then they're a nightmare. So the Save the Yak campaign, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess they just have money and they're willing to throw it. I mean, but you said they're kind of like hippie-ish. I don't know. I've met people like that. They're you know, the kind of people that are like, they're the kind of people that'll sit down in front of a charging like herd of something and just go, they won't hurt me. Everything's going to be fine.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I get from them. But her husband's worked with yaks in the past.
Oh, okay.
So she
sure
knows that. And he has some scars. So she told me the stories of him being chased. So I know they know that there's, you know, there's a risk with dealing with these animals that aren't completely domesticated, like cattle are, right?
Yeah.
But I noticed that she has a Bernie Sanders sticker on the back of her car, and war is not the answer. You know, so they're the Oregon liberal hippies.
Oh, okay.
Not quite hippie, but
Portland,
not quite hipster.
Portland. Oh, gosh. Well, but again, though, so I mean, they know yaks to a certain extent. You've been honest with them, you know, and you get rid of the darn thing, right? So there you go.
Yeah, it's perfect.
you get your money, and you don't even have to worry about dealing with all the extra mess.
Well, yeah, so he's not my bull, so I don't get paid.
Oh, you don't get anything out of this deal?
No, I don't get anything except getting rid of this animal.
Oh,
I got the tip of his horn.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound like a very good deal.
No, not really. I'm being pretty nice to the guy, but yeah.
Well,
I like what he does. I appreciate his work and his service. So
is the trials and tribulations of the yak farmer, huh?
Yeah.
That's our word.
Yeah. Oh. But that's it on the yak front.
Well, that's good. At least that's coming to a close then soon, I guess. So
yes.
You hopefully won't have to be chased down.
And so you're going to get another bull.
I am,
and you're going to have the same problem.
Right? I'm scared. I'm a little bit scared. But
are you going to find one that's already pre-tamed?
No, I'm getting one that's scared of people.
Okay.
Actually. Yeah.
But fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. You're suffering.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, can you ensure? Because you said that. I mean, I know you said before that this one was extra difficult because of the bottle feeding. Can you like ensure that doesn't happen again, or is it just like a crapshoot when you get one, or are you going to know ahead of time?
I made sure I knew. I asked the people I'm buying them from, and I made sure I understood why they were getting rid of them. And it's just because they're downsizing their herd, which is, you know, as far as I can tell, these people are pretty straightforward and good people. So I'm trusting that they're not selling me a mean yak.
Or maybe they're just not as honest as you, and they're like, we got to get rid of this darn bull.
Yeah,
keeps putting our drunk neighbor or junk uncle everywhere.
You think? I mean, do you spend some time with him first? I don't know. Do you go on a yak date? Maybe, I don't know. Figure out. I don't know how those things work. I don't know how willing I'd be to take an animal that big just on sight unseen. Just like, yeah, I'll take him. He'll be fine.
Well, so I know that I can sell him for enough meat that it'll be worth it, no matter what.
Yeah.
So, unless they misadvertised how old he was and that he was underfed or something, which would be interesting. But you know, I'm heading up there I think next week, and we'll look at him, and if he's not to my standard, I'll say no way, but we'll see.
If not, you can always make some teriyaki yak jerky and sell it for a higher price because no one else is selling.
That's right.
It you got a corner on the
that's
market.
That's right. Yeah, I'll be able to ship that too. I kind of want to butcher a yak as soon as possible so I can make the jerky.
Yeah, well, if you're going to ship that, I want some. If you're not going to ship any meat, please send me some jerky, man. Yeah, got nothing here in New York.
If you ship anything raw, you know it's going to come out like Trump steaks. So some of those comments were great. You know, it tasted like a hot dog.
That's just what I wanted, a steak. Why do I keep hearing a dinner bell go off?
Yeah. You keep talking about steak. I got to eat something.
Yeah. I thought about trying to get yaks here, but I don't think my neighbors would like that.
I doubt it. They don't make a lot of noise, though.
Yeah.
They don't make any noise. They just grunt.
Yeah. I'm sure they smell worse than the dogs, though.
Yeah, they do.
That might be a problem.
Mm-hmm. But if the cops shoot it, then you can get free jerky.
That's right.
Like, oh, thanks. You did me a favor.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squigelps from Death Clocks, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Meow, meow, meow. Redemption in the third act.
I think we already did a redemption. You know, if a cop shoots your yak, then, you know, that's a good thing. So just have yaks.
Just and you can just sell yaks. The jerky.
Just have yaks instead of a guard dog.
Yeah, I mean, who would try and rob a house with a yak in the front yard? Like, seriously, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, the front yard might be a bad idea, though.
Yeah, you don't want them to hop out. They'll hop fences. You got to make them at least like 5.5 feet tall, or they'll get out.
Oh yeah, see, I got 6-footers in my backyard already. That should hopefully keep them in.
Yeah.
Although I'll get a phone. I try to put one back there. I get a phone call from my neighbor. Will be in the pool. I don't know. Do they like to swim?
I have never seen them swim.
Because that'll be my luck. I'll hop over my neighbor's yard in the back and just land right in his pool. And I'll pay to get him out. But that is an interesting idea, though.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a way to agitate everybody in my neighborhood.
Keep them... they don't... I mean, you don't want a large herbivore in your backyard, but...
No.
Depending on how much space you have.
Yeah.
You probably don't even have an acre, right?
No. This is New York.
Yeah.
We deal in blocks and small parcels of said blocks. So there's no acreage here. My neighborhood might be an acre. I don't know. Yeah, I get like a mini yak for the backyard.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, see, if you were inside of the city, then it would be, you would have an apartment. And I don't think a yak in your apartment would be a good idea.
No.
Especially in New York.
Well, you know, the people out there are so eccentric. They get everything else classified as a service animal. Why can't I have a service yak?
Is that the word you use to describe New York City people? Eccentric? I have other words, but I can't say them on the radio.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I live here, so somebody will find me eventually and try to hurt me. So eccentric, yeah. And my family's from there, too, so we'll go with eccentric.
Yeah, you guys ain't I got no culture out there in Vegas. You guys exactly. Got no culture.
Nothing.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Where's your seat at the Opera Hall? When was the last time you went to Carnegie Hall? Yeah, that's right. Shut up.
Carnegie? You mean the deli? Come on.
Yeah. I get pizza from there all the time. We go and watch a movie at the AMC at Times Square. Yeah, culture.
But they do. They have all sorts of crazy service animals. Why can't I have a service yak?
Yeah.
You can tie the leashes to the horns.
There you go, see? All sorts of things I could do with this thing. See, now this is actually, here's a perfect redemption. This is a perfect way to actually use the legal system. Because if they're going to make us live under this thing, everybody else gets to sue for the most ridiculous discrimination cases. Why don't we just start, we should all just start trying to get like service yaks and be like, come on, I'm being discriminated here. I'm being discriminated against. And we can crash the system that way.
Yeah, but that's why we need to elect Trump so he can change the libel laws to make it easier to sue. And that way it'll make it even easier to
Sue Yaks.
Sue Yaks. Well, I don't want anybody to be able to sue my yak, but I think this is a good plan.
Yeah.
Well, come on, I'm always preaching.
Sold.
I'm always trying to preach on non-compliance. This is just another way to help bring the system down.
Yeah.
You know, I never want to get involved in anything. I never want to sue anybody. I have no interest in doing that. But if I can try to sue the state for discriminating against me.
That'd be kind of fun to do if you could get somebody to do it pro bono.
Yeah, well, you can do. I mean, I think you could do a pro se or whatever it is.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, you can represent yourself.
Exactly, and if it's just to make a mockery of the thing anyway, mm-hmm. you might as well have some fun with it.
Time.
Yeah. Well, I have some.
And I'm still looking into running for mayor of Las Vegas and running on a one-issue platform of turning Circus into the only Las Vegas brothel and still keeping the midway for children.
I think that's an excellent platform.
Yep.
And I don't vote, but I would probably vote for you.
I'm a single-issue candidate in a single-issue world.
There you go.
We're going to make prostitution great again.
Hey, man, you got to give the public what they want, right?
Yep. Blackjack and hookers.
Worms.